La-na-da-da-da-da. La-na-da-da-da-dee. Talking about you and me and the games people play.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome to the TBTL Winter Games. 2 weeks of special programming that will entertain and delight you, the tens of listeners, and will allow me and Andrew to have a couple of weeks off. And if you hear the show on a regular basis, you know that there is a level of focus and intensity that's brought to each and every episode that's just not sustainable 52 weeks a year. It could kill a person. And so to that end, we're resting, we're recharging, we're relaxing as you're hearing this. But we think we got some fun stuff in store for you. And here to help us with that, of course, is Andrew Walsh, the longest running Cobra of the show. Hello, my friend.
Hey, Luke. Happy holidays.
I have so many rollerblading related questions for you, but you know what? These shows are going to be airing in a couple of weeks, and I'm sure it will have been well explored.
Yes.
In the real time experience of the TBTL listener.
But you're tempted because as we record this right now, I've just returned from my first inline skating class on the East Side, and I'm still wearing my inline skating gear, which is why it's so hard for my gear. I'm not wearing all my pads, but you know, I just look like a skater.
You do. There's a certain just raw sexual energy that's emanating off you right now.
Yeah.
I can't go down that road because we may never recover from it. Let me introduce the other folks who are going to be helping us this week of shows. Genevieve Haz of After These Messages and various other productions. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Luke. Thanks.
Thanks for being here. Genevieve, of course, Andrew's partner in life, and then my partner in petty crime from the Stack of Dimes podcast, and You Blew It. It's our friend Camaro Kev right over there.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Good to have you back. Thank you for spending this time with us. Here's the plan for this week. We are going to play a version of, I guess we're just going to call it this, the newlywed game.
By the way, we have some announcements to make.
Oh, yeah. Do we bury the lead? We're a quadruple. And we have chosen now to live our life together as a group. The irony of that of that game and of us playing this game for a week is that none of us are married to each other anyway. Mm-hmm. But the plan is going to be because, of course, Andrew, you and Genevieve have been together for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Going on 20, right?
Yeah. And
is that our next one?
I think so, yeah.
And Camaro, you and I have been knowing each other for now over 20 years,
yes.
I think, just barely.
Okay, you win.
And so the issue that we're going to try to settle this week is who knows each other better? And as I wrote in the email announcing this competition, whichever team wins will drive directly to the courthouse and become legally married.
Mm-hmm. Preferably in Reno?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Okay. I would like that.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we've all filled out these answers to 10 questions. I'm sure that certainly any of our listeners over a certain age are well familiar with the newlywed game and how it works. Is that still a thing? Do they stay? I mean, the
in
newlywed game.
Now?
I doubt it, right?
Oh, I don't think so.
Chuck Woolery is mostly focusing on hateful right wing speech on Twitter now.
Well, they do have, like, ABC does all these video games. Video games.
Yeah, yeah. Game shows are again rebooting.
Yeah,
right?
I don't believe that's one of them. No,
not yet. Huh?
Now all the love game shows are like, we met 5 minutes ago. Now we're married.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Like
right.
This is hopelessly quaint compared to the love-based competitions on TV now.
And I don't mean to sharpshoot, but I believe Chuck Woolery was Love Connection.
Oh,
right. He'll be back in 2 and 2.
Who was Bob? Was it Bob? Obviously not Bob Newhart, but there was a host of the dating game or the newlywed game, rather.
Yeah.
Bob Eubanks.
That sounds about right.
I think it was probably Bob Eubanks.
Yes, I think you're right, according to the internet. Look at you.
I brought this bell all the way down from Bellingham. You're so right, though, Vives, that the dating games and the relationship-based competitions are either you just met this person and you got married, or you just met this person, you got married, and you have to stay married for some amount of time while we film you fighting.
And all the other stuff.
The WB presents Get Me Out of This Marriage.
Well, there's 90 Day Fiancé, right?
Yeah.
Which is, I didn't even understand the premise of that show. I watched the first one. I was like, it's all people they just brought here from somewhere else. And then someone was like, that's the show.
That's the show.
I was like, oh, I just thought that they were being they were being really redundant with their you know, people they were focusing on. You got that one out there. You know what I missed though is Blind Date.
Oh yeah,
Roger Lodge.
Yeah,
Roger
Blind Date was kind of fun. I think there's some version of that. Now there's a show, or they're in relatively recent memory. Again, I'm basing this on some TV promo that I saw in passing because this isn't really my jam. But there was a whole show based around catching people cheating.
Cheaters.
Cheaters
TV.
Aptly named.
Yeah. Now that's TikTok. And you think I'm kidding, and I promise I am not going to bring up TikTok more than once per episode of the Winter Games. This is my one time for it.
Okay.
A big thing on TikTok, and I don't know if I can believe it or not, but I kind of think people are this thirsty for the likes, is if you find out that your boyfriend or girlfriend, it's never husband and wife because these are like 16-year-olds.
Right.
If you find out your boyfriend or girlfriend is cheating, and it's often with one of your good friends, you confront them in a TikTok video.
Oh, really?
And these, I don't like those. That makes me uncomfortable. I also didn't like Cheaters TV for that reason. Also was worried I would be on it at some point. So I had a lot going on with that. But yeah, Cheaters TV was a big thing.
And I would like to set the record straight on something. So this game, obviously, the one we're thinking of came out in the mid-60s, the Newlywed Game I'm talking about. There was a reboot in the late 90s, 96 to 97. And then it did come back 2009 to 2013.
Wow.
So the Newlywed Game.
Who was
game,
the host
can't keep
of it
down. It? When
I
it
assume
came back.
Neil Patrick Harris. I'm trying to think who's in the zeitgeist.
Right.
Who would they be rebooting it with?
It looks like the latest one was Sherry Shepherd.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Who's that?
She's you know her from 30 Rock as Tracy Morgan's husband. Or wife, excuse me.
Oh, Sherry Shepherd. Okay, yeah. I didn't
she's
know
also
that was her name.
She's also
she's on The View.
She's on The View.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What most
okay.
people, that's where she sort of rose to fame. But to me, she'll always be Mrs. Jordan.
Yeah. I would love to be a game show host. That's such a specific set of skills. I don't think I have it, but I wish I did.
I think you totally have it.
Yeah?
I can see you holding a tiny, very narrow microphone.
Yeah, and my hands are already big, so it would look even
just
smaller.
Just a regular-sized microphone?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Actually, you know what? That's one. That's almost a version of one of the questions on this Newlywed Game. The other thing that we could have called it, which I feel like this was on one of the morning shows when I was growing up, the radio morning shows, was something called The Mating Game. I don't even remember what the rules of it was, but it was their version of the dating game.
Mm-hmm. That sounds...
What show was that?
I'm going to guess Charlie and Ty.
Ah.
It was either Charlie and Ty or Chet Buchanan or...
Sure. Mark in the Dark Allen, maybe?
Maybe Mark in the Dark Allen. Who else was out there? Who else was at the...
Was it Mark in the Dark because he got up so early to do the morning show?
You got it.
He was the...
Wow.
Oh, I thought he was the night guy, maybe.
I think he was the
night
guy. Because
he was legally blind.
Yes, he was.
Poor Mark. Beautiful voice, though.
Yeah.
No, it was, he was the overnight guy. He led into the wacky zoo morning show.
Yeah. Some of those, are any of those guys, I know we need to get to the game here, but are any of those, Kent and Alan are still doing their thing, right?
Alan is retired. Kent is afternoon guy at Star.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that mean the last of the Seattle morning shows?
I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
What's happening on WMMS, the Buzzard Morning Zoo, Andrew?
No idea. But when you say it's the last of the morning shows, do you mean it's the last of that generation?
Yeah, the ones that I think of as being the morning show.
Are they
long running?
Still are doing morning shows that are still in that kind of
Hello,
format,
Brooke
though,
and Jubal
right?
in the morning.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know that there was a moment where I was kind of talking to them about being on that show?
No.
But it was not Brooke and Jubal. It was Brooke and
Monty.
Monty. That's right. Monty and Brooke. And they were like looking for a male person. And I knew Monty because she did stand up sometimes. And so we had a couple of meetings.
Mm.
And
what era is this?
This would have been shortly after I got fired from Cairo the first time.
I remember you telling me this.
Yeah. And obviously it didn't go anywhere. And obviously Jubal was a much better, because that show is like a big hit around here. So
yeah, it is.
It's pretty long running now, like 10 years or something.
There will be kids someday going, are Brooke and Jubal still doing
right.
that?
Yep.
Jubal is selling real estate in the San Juans. And who knows? Okay. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to really get into this. We're going to see who knows more about their teammate and life partner, me or Camaro Kev. Or
can I say lover?
Yes, you can. Yeah, and I wish you would. I've whispered it quietly when you've been sleeping many times when we've been watching an endlessly looped menu of a DVD at your house, Camaro. And it's finally worked. You finally got the message. So, all right, quick break. And then we'll be back with more TBTL here during the Winter Games. Stay with us. We paid over $250,000 for the rights to the Olympics theme, and I think it was worth every penny.
Thank you for your donations.
I want to apologize to fans of the show In the Dark. It's now canceled. We siphoned off all of the resources at APM to pay for the rights to this song, but I think it really sets the tone for these Winter Games. All right, so here we go. Where should we start? Do we want to start with Andrew and Genevieve, maybe?
Sure. So what is the first question? And so I filled out the answer to the first question. Yep. Genevieve filled out, and I have to guess what Genevieve answered.
That's right. So what we will do is I will read the first question, and then, Andrew, it's your job to try to guess what Genevieve said.
Okay.
And then we'll see how right you are. And then Camaro and I will do that, and then we will repeat the operation. So we'll try to. The idea would be that ideally, Andrew, you would have guessed the same thing that Genevieve guessed. She would have guessed. Would have predicted what you were going to say, and the same for me and Camaro.
Okay, gotcha. And some of these will be individual things, like, hey, like, you know, what is my opinion or taste in something? But this first one is actually a shared experience, right? So we better both.
And yeah,
this.
Let's just say if you're not on the same page with this, you got problems,
right? Okay.
This is a fundamental part of your guys' relationship.
Yeah, so if he gets this one wrong, then it's very anticlimactic when I guess what he said.
Right, exactly.
I guess you're right about that.
Kind of a one-rounder, sort
of. This one's sort of a one-rounder,
but that's
because
okay.
Whatever you say now is the one you guessed, presumably.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I can tell you if you get it wrong, this quadruple is down to a thruple.
Yeah.
So be very, very careful. Okay, so question number one, where did you go on your first date? Andrew, what do you think Genevieve said?
Andrew's apartment in New Hampshire, vegan ravioli, Tom Petty box set on the stereo.
And Genevieve said,
let's see, hold it up,
handmade
Genevieve.
Handmade vegan ravioli in Andrew's unfurnished apartment.
Oh my gosh! I almost wrote down sitting on top of moving boxes, but you told us to keep it brief.
That is so, okay.
Wow.
Now, I mean, again, if we had gotten that wrong, although, I mean, we didn't know each other and had some engagements before we officially started dating, so I guess we... There is a different ways to interpret that, I guess.
There was. I actually cheated a little bit because I also wrote down Mexican restaurant margaritas, which was our first outside of the home date.
Well, then why do you classify?
I don't remember that.
Uh-oh.
I remember going to margaritas. Wait, was that the one that was in the jail? It was in the old turn of, or not turn of the century, it was like an old early 1800s jailhouse.
That had been converted into a Mexican restaurant. It was like kind of the most interesting place to go in Concord, New Hampshire for Mexican.
Because
anyway.
You'd sit in jail cells.
There's a place like that now at Fort Worden.
Really?
Called Taps. And it's the old, it was like the brig. Or is it a brig? Yeah, any military jail is technically a brig,
I believe,
right?
So, yeah.
So, yeah, it was the jail at Fort Worden if you were like in trouble there. And now it's the same thing. You sit in the jail cell and eat. It's very fun.
Yeah. Boy, that makes me want to go back. I didn't realize how much I missed that place.
Well, yeah, they had a really good shrimp fajita there.
And a good margarita. And everybody knows, I mean, I know it's cliche to say, but if you want good Mexican food, go to Concord, New Hampshire.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't waste our time, Andrew, with those obvious observations. Well, the question is, why then, if you guys were out having a drink in a jail, which, by the way, Kevin and I's first date was also in a jail.
Yeah, right. It ended up there.
Less voluntary.
Yeah.
But how did you, like, why did you know to pick this vegan ravioli thing? Is that because the mythology of your relationship
that
is built around this?
That was our first date. I just wasn't sure if, like, date would mean, like, outside of the home. And so I wrote that down as kind of a backup. But our first date, like, after we had met, we had hooked up. And
wow.
But that's what he said.
Walsh moves fast.
That's what he meant when he said
gotta
we
have
had some engagement.
Wow.
Wait, I was talking about the PowerPoint.
Please tell me how that's how you referred to it with Genevieve after you guys hooked up. We had some inward-facing engagement that really ticked a lot of boxes.
I put my hand on top of hers and said, would you like to engage?
Yeah.
But when he got actually the job in New Hampshire, I drove up in the middle of winter in this like shitbox car that was always breaking down and met him basically like he lived there for maybe 3 days or something and he had no furniture, just boxes. I was a vegan at the time. And so I made this really wretched a walnut-based ravioli.
I don't remember it being bad. And I'm a picky eater. I don't remember it being bad at all.
You were so blinded by love.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And engagement.
I really think that's what it was.
Well, we had this date.
It was the prospect of engagement.
He would crawl across walnut-filled raviolis to get some more of that engagement.
We had that date set, though, from when I was still in Ohio.
I know.
We had the date set. Like,
yeah, we
knew.
Were both
we had
excited.
The plan set. Yeah, yeah. So.
But I drove up there. I made ravioli. We listened to the Tom Petty box set.
I probably made you watch a terrible movie that I loved in college, right? Like, probably not.
I'm gonna guess
Gummo
some, like,
yet.
Oh, that was definitely the first whole year of
some
our
Henry and Maude type
deal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Henry and Harriet?
What's the name of that movie?
Yeah, what is
Maude and
Harold.
Harold.
Maude and Harold.
Harold.
I was thinking Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, which I'm sure you also made her watch.
Well,
it was all in that same era of like kind of arty films.
I love Harold and Maude. I also had to watch a lot of terrible movies that don't hold up.
Has that changed over the years in the relationship as far as just how much of the other person's pop culture that you have to tolerate?
I think you now have to tolerate more of my pop culture than the other way around.
When I first met you, I was watching a lot more indie movies and kind of like doing that. And then I was bringing it to the table. And some of them, it turns out I found out later how much you hated a lot of these things.
I was on good behavior for like
right,
the first
right,
12
right.
months.
But now, like, now, and you have a more broad taste in like, you know, pop culture stuff that I was not into at the time. And now I really enjoy that stuff and I'm glad I do. And also, though, I'm not out there like kind of watching the weird movies that I liked at the time. You know, so I'm not disappointed that you're not sitting down watching Wim Wenders movies with me because I don't know what Wim Wenders is doing.
A couple things. One, I have learned in my old age now. I mean, with the exception of sometimes like texting you, Andrew, being like, you got to watch this one thing. I have really learned that 90% of the time when I try to make somebody watch something, hoping they'll have the response that I'm hoping they will, mm-hmm. it is a real recipe for being let down.
Yeah.
And my version of this is my poor daughter, she has this vivid memory of me, I guess, sort of forcing her / allowing her to watch Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind when she's like 11 and we're in Miami and all she wanted to do was handstands because it was like a real good carpet in this apartment we were renting. And I was like, you gotta watch. Of course, I'm like drinking scotch. And I'm like, no, but you don't understand. They still want to be together. And she's like, I don't have a lot of context for this. So
man.
I would say that's one of the only things I've actually matured on is not trying to get people to watch stuff because like with Carrie, forget it. Like there's just no chance.
I only do it with 3D movies at about 3 in the morning.
Yeah, but I enjoy that. I enjoy that. That's kind of, that's your brand.
I will say, Luke, this Newlywed Game is not about us, but
it could be if you're interested.
This is a chink in both of our armors where we don't overlap well. You have a lot of expectation when you want somebody to watch something, and I tend to not react well when
right.
And I'm not even doing it on purpose.
Right.
But an example was just from 3 or 4 days ago. Not even.
I don't want to talk about this. I'm still hurting from it.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
The
episode of Characters.
Yes.
With Tim Robinson.
Yes.
You were really, really geeked up about the first skit in there. But you also basically told me the first skit in there, and then you said, and then there's a big twist. So. I'm not complaining, but like just by you telling the story, it didn't wash. I later on played it for Genevieve, didn't tell her shit about it. She was dying on the floor.
Died.
He thought it was too dark.
No. When I said dark, I was talking about the next skit, which I loved, but is super dark. Do you remember that one?
I thought you were saying that the skit where he's the sort of Dean Martin type was too dark.
I watched that. I thought it was funny, but then I just kept watching
okay.
it. And then I guess I didn't give you guys context. I was texting with you and Chris about it, and I was like, this show is getting dark. But I probably just wrote dark.
The one where it's the cab dispatchers or something.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
And they're all in their like shitty office.
Right.
That
it's the guy from
dark.
Conan.
Oh,
that,
I didn't
the
know
dude
that.
That's like the slam master used
yes.
to show up in random Conan
that's
sketches.
That's where I know him from. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I did love it.
Oh,
but
okay.
I know that you didn't get the reaction you wanted on the like the Rat Pack.
You would have been really happy with mine though.
Yeah,
I
you
was
would have loved. I almost
dying.
For usual.
It. Yeah.
yeah.
It's not that I didn't like it. It's just kind of like I don't know how to react when somebody's expecting a reaction out of me.
Well,
it's a
that's,
weird thing.
I don't think it's weird, and I think for you, if it feels like anything is. A performance that you're going to have to give. Carrie is very much the same way. I mean, the real takeaway from all of our knowing of each other is that Carrie, basically, like, Carrie and you, Andrew, are almost the same person in a lot of ways, and Genevieve and I are very similar. And it's like, I know that if I try to, like, build something up for Carrie so that she feels like the only, she only has one correct response, that's, like, gonna obvious, that's gonna always create the opposite experience for her. Okay. The other thing I was going to say, you guys, we have one point. You have one point, although you did sort of cheat because Genevieve had a backup, but it's okay. Well, I'm not going to bring that up unless it's a tie later.
We didn't need it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Camaro, I think we both know the answer to what our first date was. I think this is pretty easy.
Yeah.
So can I? I'm going to guess at what you wrote down, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think you wrote down the Paragon, Queen Anne.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say Queen Anne, but I did say the Paragon. Yes.
Nice. All right. This was how many years ago?
Oh, man.
I was 21, so that would have been, you know, well, it was 22 years ago, whatever exact year and date it was.
98 or something like that, right?
Yeah, I played basketball with this kind of random dude, and it's also such a testament to how much more open to the world I was at age 21. I am not interested in making any new friends.
Oh, yeah.
I would never, like, hang out with someone. Like, me knowing you, Camaro, is because I met a random dude at basketball, and he said we should hang out sometime, and I followed up. And he was like, I'm going to this thing, and I was like, I'll go to that thing. I'll leave the house to that thing. Like, that was just a very normal experience of mine. You were coming down from Lake Stevens.
Yeah.
So it was a schlep.
And John was with me, right?
So
he came down and met you and Kelly at the Paragon.
Yeah.
And the only reason I knew the Paragon was because of
Tom Likas.
Really shitty afternoon radio show, the Tom Likas show.
Because he would do live shows from there, even though he was from L.A., but he would come up to Seattle. I think that was like his other main market.
So it's a venue? The Paragon is a venue?
No, it's just a bar restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they would have a live band there from time. And when he would come in, they would play Enter Sandman because that
oh
was
my
his.
God.
Yeah.
He would, it'd be like, you know, you're sitting in there and pretty soon the band's like playing. Doo.
It'd be like H.B. Radke and the Jet City Swingers.
Exactly.
Kind of his default house band.
And he'd come walking in with his entourage. How sad is that?
Very sad.
It's so sad.
That we were never able to achieve it. I mean, no, very sad for him.
And I was excited. I was like, "I'm going to the Paragon. I've heard about this on his show." And then, we connected.
Yeah,
love connection.
I was just at that age where I was like, always looking for something to do, and just like, yeah, okay, cool, I'll go up there.
Your basketball buddy was a mutual friend.
My basketball buddy had gone to film school with Camaro at the UW. And so that's how they knew each other. But I just showed up. I didn't know anyone except this one dude from basketball.
I see.
And I remember somehow just being kind of, I think, randomly sitting at a table with you and John. And I was like, didn't know these guys from anywhere. And I was just like, you know, whatever. I'm just talking to two boring white guys like myself. And then the subject of Ken Schramm
came up.
Back
then we thought white guys were just intrinsically interesting.
Exactly.
It was a different time.
But even then, I think I was on the edge of realizing how boring we really were. I just don't remember like seeing you guys and being like, I got to talk to those dudes. And I'm sure you didn't have that thought with me. But we were sitting there, and then the subject of this local news TV show, Town Meeting, came up. And the fact that it was hosted by this guy, Kent Schramm.
Yeah.
Ken Schramm, rather.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Who Camaro, you would go on to know really well.
Yeah.
But at that time, we just knew him as the guy who hosted this. This was also a different media era when there was the resources for the local TV station to just have like a live politics-based TV show every week with a live crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be like, you know, the major, you know, this ballot initiative is being voted on, and we have these people here. And this was like appointment television.
Oh, my parents watched it every Sunday. And what was funny is I think we bonded over the fact that we just like, we obsessed over local media in a weird kind of way where it's like,
because there were no other 21-year-olds who were going to drop a Ken Schramm reference.
Right.
And also, let's be honest, this was a different time. This wasn't nice. This wasn't body positive. But I believe we were commenting on, let's just say, his unusual looks for being on television.
Yeah.
Were you giving them a Schrammy?
This is pre-Schrammy.
This was pre-Schrammy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pre-Schrammy.
I know. Can you believe
he would give
it?
Those out. They were like, it was a Raspberry Award, basically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 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 I have one.
Do you
well,
really?
Well, Anita got one for marrying me.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a good gift, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were sitting there, and I remember going from being kind of like, whatever, I'm just making small talk, to, oh my God, these two guys, and maybe you a little bit more than John, are equally fixated on an otherwise not interesting local media product.
Yeah.
And here we have made a career out of not interesting local media product. Yeah. You're hearing it right now. But the thing that really sealed the deal for me, and I've talked about this on the show before, was, so I thought we all kind of hit it off, but then my 22nd birthday was coming up, and it was a random, like it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday night, and I was going to go out with Kelly, the guy that we knew from basketball, and our friend Russell, a.k.a. the veteran, because he was like 10 years older than the rest of us, and not because he served, but it was a bad night for going out, and like no one was going to show up, and it was like me, it ended up being like me and Kelly at the like Doc Maynard's or something in Pioneer Square, and I was just kind of like, well, this is going to be kind of a quiet. I hadn't learned at that point that if you drink enough, any night gets fun. I was still operating along the idea that like, oh,
I
if there's
get not, all the people out,
all
my
the
friends.
People are not here, and then Camaro and John like just walked through the door, and I was just like, it was the
you
most.
Were so happy. I was so happy.
I was so pumped about that.
Yeah.
And then from that moment on, we were
thick
all
as thieves.
We were kind of inseparable. But you guys still lived pretty far away, so you were schlepping in the Camaro occasionally.
Yeah, probably the Camaro or the Audi that John had.
Yeah,
or he had,
Audi like, John is a less cool nickname than Camaro.
I agree.
Kev.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Audi Andy, John. Maybe.
Yeah, would you consider buying an Audi?
For the branding, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's two for two. You nice. Guys knew your first date. We knew our first date. This was the easy one, though. I wanted to start with the easy one. These are going to get harder as we go on.
Question number three is going to kill me, man.
Yeah, we'll get to it, I guess, at some point. But there was one of these ones that was really stumping you.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
You're taking this seriously.
I'm being very dramatic. I'm being very extra about question number three.
Well, approaching this thing, it's like, do I answer in a way that I know
exactly.
you will know, or
exactly.
do I answer honestly? Like, what? Mm-hmm. But I don't think some, like, one of the questions I know for sure you're probably not going to get. Several of them I have no idea with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can still surprise you all these years later, Camaro. Which is what I say to Andrew anytime he doesn't know something about me on the show.
Or have forgotten something about you. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Thank you, baby. All right, let's thank some donors of the day before we get out of here. By the way, we got one question in.
Yeah.
We have 10 questions. I really want to get to the 10th. I feel like it's definitely the most explosive of the topics that we may get to. So at this rate, I don't know. We may be here for longer than we were expecting. And you know who's helping pay for all of this? Our donors of the day, Sherry Cornell of Seattle, Washington. Thank you. Also, Christopher Anderson of Everett, Washington. Andrea Elkins of Humble, Texas.
Oh, man. You never get high on your own supply there.
No,
they
just remind you. Everywhere you look, stay humble in Humble, Texas. Neil Hodges of Seattle, Washington, Rachel Smith of Oakland, California, and then William Richard of, is that Bill? Oh, that's Richardson. I thought it was former presidential candidate and one-time head of, I thought it was Bill Richardson. I was like, wow, that'd be huge for
us. That would be a big get, yeah.
No, this is different. This is William Richard of Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. Thank you, William. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Neil. Thanks, Andrea. Thanks, Christopher. And thanks, Sherry, for supporting the program. Hope you're having a great as this is being released, it's a couple days before Christmas. Hope you're having a good time. Hope you're getting all your stuff done and enjoying this festive holiday season. And thanks for making TBTL possible. All right. I think we should probably call that good, because if we launch into another question here, this is going to take a long, long time.
Yeah, this is about a half-hour show.
Yeah.
We're giving the people what they want.
Debatable.
Yeah, they probably prefer 15 minutes.
We're giving them the equivalent of, God bless, and I hope she doesn't hear this, but a gift my mom would give someone. There is now a side text chain in addition to Hawk Squad that is us kids comparing notes on presents that my mom is giving us and our various children.
You have, like, what is the Stern after show thing?
The wrap-up show?
You have, like, a wrap-up show. You have the wrap-up squad for
Hawk
Squad.
I want to see if I can find this quickly on the fly. I don't know if we have enough of this music, but my sister just sent along a photograph of something. Basically, my mom gave my niece a porcelain clown.
Oh, yeah. That's what. How old is she?
And it's one of those ones where it grows a cactus for the penis, which seems, I don't think my mom knows about that part of it. No, she's, and my sister was like, well, we have a current front runner.
Yeah, I love it.
Replacing the previous front runner, which was a picture she gave me, a drawing of two cherubs watching someone hit a golf ball.
Right.
They were naked on a hill. But anyway.
I love it.
Yeah. So that's the gift that we're giving the listeners this week. But but we hope they enjoy it nonetheless. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here tomorrow with day two of the Winter Games. Until then, hope you're having a great time, whatever you're doing. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.